You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Thank you to our sponsors, the Wall Street Memes Casino. With over 5,000 custom games to choose from. Enjoy live dealers and in-play sports betting, from football to esports. Get a 200% sign-up bonus on your initial deposit up to $25,000. Use code IFLTV24. Deposit now by visiting Wall Street Memes Casino today. 18 plus only, please gamble responsibly.
Welcome to episode 39 of Talk Smart with
Pew
and McCart. That is young Joe Pew over there, and I'm Andrew McCart. A little bit of a funny one today. I'm in my car, Joe, as everybody can see. Been a hectic day, but that doesn't stop us. No matter rain, sun, sleet, or snow, we'll do this podcast.
Yeah, it's been a hectic week, I think, or overall for me. I didn't think it was going to be as busy, I'll be honest. It all led to an absolutely fantastic night at O2 last night.
Well, you break up a wee bit there, Joe, but that's fine. We'll work with it. But yeah, the show last night, let's just jump straight in at the deep end, man. Let's just go straight to Fabio Wardley and Fraser Clark. Now,
yeah.
Probably one of the best British heavyweight title fights I've seen, if not the best. What an absolute battle of attrition that was. Fantastic fight. Before I say my piece, Joe, man, just fire away, man. How good was that fight?
Oh, it was so good. It was so, so good. It lived up to all of the expectations. And genuinely, before the fight, I couldn't call it. I think in the build-up, kind of before fight week, I was edging towards Fabio. And then during fight week, I was edging towards Fraser. And then, obviously, we had that 12 rounds of just pure war. And then after, it's so rare after a fight where no one can really decide who's won. No one really knows how to score it because it was so hard to score just because it was back and forth action throughout. Obviously, you had the knockdown, then the point deducted, but it just had a bit of everything. It had all the drama. It was blood, guts and glory, and it certainly was bloody because, yeah, Fabio's face was certainly a sight.
I tell you what, boxing is a sport that you can't hide. You can't hide in boxing. Do you know what I mean? If you try and hide or cut corners, you'll get found out. Last night was just absolutely, like I said to you, both men put it all on the line. You can just after when that 12th bell went, Fraser Clark went back to his corner and sat on the rope. Fabio Wardley went back to his corner and slumped a little bit and got his nose whipped. That is when you know both men have just emptied the tank. They have fought on complete. I would think that maybe Fabio fought 6 or 7 rounds just on sheer heart alone. Do you know what I mean? He must have had difficulty breathing out of that nose. And obviously, Fraser Clark is probably kicking himself this morning with that silly point reduction. And I don't think it... Listen, I know he got warned, but it was minuscule. It wasn't like he went, trying to dig that way. It was just a little boop. Do you know what I mean? Like, he will be kicking himself this morning because if he never had that point reduction, he's probably the British and Commonwealth champion right now. But that being said, I think that fight didn't deserve a loser. So I'm quite happy that they'll probably get the rematch because I would see that again tomorrow. I would watch that again. That was an absolutely fantastic advert for boxing.
I don't know a boxing fan that won't watch that again tomorrow. I don't know if it will happen next. I'll be completely honest, but yeah, it was brilliant. And the funny thing was, I think it was round four when I think Fraser hurt Fabio, and I went, "You watch, Fabio's going to turn into an absolute beast now, like he's done in so many of them fights before," and he did. And then I think the next round he got the knockdown. So it was just one of them fights where it was back and forth throughout. And I did think through those first three, four rounds, I thought that certainly Fraser, because Fraser hadn't shown it yet, I didn't think he'd be able to keep the pace that he did. And don't get me wrong, the fight went with ebbs and flows, but they always seem to find that pace once again at some point within a round or within the next round, which was excellent. So they never died away. And if they did look like they was fading, they'd always get back within the next 90-second period of the fight.
Yeah. And that was the first time both men had done 12 rounds as well. And you can tell that now they know that how difficult and how fit you need to be to do 12 rounds, as especially 19 stone, 17 and a half stone men. Do you know what I mean? It might be a little bit easier for the lighter guys. Do you know what I mean? They're not carrying that much mass around. But for big, heavy men like that to do 12 rounds the way they did when it was just constant, none of them took a round off. I mean, Fabio, I mean, like I said to you, he fought the second half of that fight on just heart alone. There was moments in that fight when Fraser clocked him in the second half, that is, and you're almost thinking that he's gone. But then he would just get that second wind and come back with a flurry of his own and put Fraser on the back foot. And it was like you're saying, ebbing and flowing. And like I said as well, that boxing is a test of character and how much you are willing to go to the well to win that British title. And how many times have I said, I'm going to say it again, Joe, that when a British title is on the line, what do we get?
Great fights. Absolutely great fights.
Fucking good fight. And it's been... I'm not saying it happens all the time. Obviously, you're going to get the damp squid every now and again, but it was an absolutely fantastic advert for boxing last night. And, like, a lot of people had it a draw. So maybe that... I was going flicking through Instagram and Twitter, and a lot of the boxing heads were saying I had a draw, this, that, and the next thing. So maybe that was a fair result last night. But when you looked at the what interested me was when that final scorecard was read, you look at the Fabio and then you look at Fraser. Fabio put both arms in the air and Fraser went like that, shook his head. So it was almost like maybe a relief for Fabio and disappointment for Fraser. That's how the emotions I got when that final scorecard was read. But do you think that was a fair result? Do you think a draw was fair? Or do you think maybe one of them should have nicked it?
Yeah. I think either way, like, it was so close. And I want to watch it again, and I will watch it again and sit down and score it. But you are right in what you said. And Fabio, logically, with it being such a close fight, getting the point deducted, Fraser getting the point deducted, and then the knockdown would favour it to Fabio. But then when you look at it, and certainly from where I was sitting, it looks like Fraser was getting the better of a few more of the rounds. And Fraser, when I spoke to him after, was so kind of just frustrated with himself with the silly point deduction. And he said, like, the point deduction is the point deduction, but the second in lapse of concentration, where if it had moved back half an inch, it wouldn't have got him so caught off balance and he might have gone onto the ropes rather than actually gone down when he did go down. So that's why he was more kicking himself about. And I think he was kind of kicking himself because I think in his mind last night, I don't think he thought he was getting a rematch. Because Fabio's got so many options. It was no secret, I think it was going to be Fabio's last fight at this level if he did win that fight. So it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. Fabio's going to need a lot of time out because that nose seems to be a reoccurring thing now. So that needs surgery, and that needs to make sure that that, because that can't happen every fight.
No,
that just can't happen. So Fabio's going to need a lot of time out. Fraser will probably want to get out again. So it might not happen next, but I think it was a fight where it was so good that I'm praying the public demand will be enough to make it.
Yeah, yeah, probably at Ipswich Football Ground. I don't know what that ground's called, as I'm a Scottish football fan. So
Portman Road, mate. Portman Road.
I knew you would know. That's why I put that in there, because I knew you would know. In the summer, maybe? Maybe.
But I don't think he's going to be ready in time. This is what we were saying last night, I think. So if you're going to have a football stadium, it's going to be like May or June. And we're what we're in now, we're in the 1st of April today. So is Fab going to be ready? I doubt it. So maybe they set up for a big fight next year at the stadium, because that fight could arguably be too big for the O2 now. The O2 was, I think, it ended up having about 14,000 in there last night. It holds 18. So, and that would definitely sell more than it did last night, just through the photos alone. You just can see that ring, that bludgeoned ring, and it tells it all. And yeah, great fight, and just I hope we do see it again in some shape or form in the near future.
You're thinking that Fabio will vacate then, and then move on to sort of like the next level? Do you think he's done with his British level, and that will obviously free up Fraser Clark to bite for the vacant to Solomon Dacres or somebody of the likes? Is that a sort of more scenario?
Yeah, I think it all depends. I think if Fraser wants to, obviously it means like every fighter wants to win the British, but if Fraser gets a knock on the door, maybe from Saudi, because he's proved himself last night that he can mix at that level, and probably, although that was a British title fight, it was a British title fight that was a level higher than British level. Last night. So if Fraser gets a call from probably maybe Saudi Arabia for a massive kind of international fight, he might look to go down that route. So both of them guys, the stocks have risen so much, and the options will be endless for the both of them now.
Yeah, and it was a lot made pre-fight of obviously the white collar background, five white collar fights from Fabio Wardley, and the extensive amateur career from Fraser Clark. Was it a Commonwealth Games gold medalist, Olympic bronze medalist? But I was thinking as well, like, imagine Fabio Wardley, white collar. Imagine some guy, some lawyer somewhere, some doctor, what, do a white collar charity fight and got paired up with Fabio Wardley back in the day.
I know.
Pure geezer's probably still eating his dinner through a straw, man. But yeah, to be fair, Fabio, man, when you do have that extensive amateur background, and it showed in times with Fraser Clark in that fight that when he used his jab, he was effective. The battle of the jabs was won by Fraser, and then it was a simple right hand as well from Fraser. So the boxing fundamentals and the technique was all Fraser, and you can see it, and he was wearing them down. But Fabio, like I said to you, man, that guy's got heart for days, man. He was just, I thought he would have gone in the 10th round, then the 11th round, then the 12th round, but he stayed there, and he kept on swinging. And he would have these little busts where he would just let it unleash going. It was, like I said to you, it was a fantastic advert for not just British boxing, but world boxing. And yeah, for a Sunday night card, I enjoyed it, man, because then before that, we had Florian Marco against Chris Congo. Another good fight, very, very good fight. Probably not as much drama as we thought it would have. But I think Congo boxed to instruction. He was just doing everything right. He stayed poised. He stayed relaxed. Didn't let Florian get his work off and on the ropes. So yeah, it was all in all, it was an absolutely fantastic night. But yeah, the co-main event for you, Congo boxed well. Florian,
career best performance from Congo, I think. I didn't actually watch all of it because I was in and out, you know how it is. But I think Congo boxed really well. That's the kind of performance Congo needed, I think, because he was kind of under a bit of pressure after the Esserman fight. It was a close fight, the Esserman fight, which he kind of come off loser to. So it was big for him, for Chris. And just after, Florian was absolutely distraught. Was he? Like, her, like, really, really badly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I don't think he's lost in competitive competition, has he? Like, in years, I think. Even in his kickboxing background, I don't think he's lost in years. So, hopefully he'll come back, because Florian's a character that we need. Then, obviously, you have Ben Whittaker. Leon Williams. Leon Williams brought it. And you can't ask for nothing more than what Leon Williams done, I think.
No, I thought defensively, Liam Williams was his defensive skills were. I'd never known Liam Williams up until last night. Like, I seen glimpses of him on when he won the area title, when he knocked that guy out, when he was slipping on the back foot and he rolled and came back with the left hook, which was obviously put on Instagram to say that he can showboat as well as Ben Whittaker. But he tagged Ben last night. He tagged him with some big shots, which was, one, good to see Ben getting hit. And two, Ben can get hit and take it, because he hit him flush. Leon hit him flush. But I like that from Ben. Listen, I'm a massive fan of Ben Whittaker. I really, really am. And I like his antics in the ring. But what I liked from Ben last night was the fact that he was jabbing to the chest, and he was showing you more of the boxer that he is, that he can be, that he can bite down on the gum shield and go toe-to-toe with you if you want it. He's not done not all on this flashiness and dancing. He can have a fight if he wants to have a fight. And he showed glimpses of that last night. And I think as he steps up the level, we'll see more of him getting into a fight. And we'll see more of that. And even when he got tapped.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I think he was showboating a little bit, so he's never not going to stop showboating and doing what he does. And that's why I like him, and that's why a lot of people like him. A lot of people don't like him. But listen, he's got people talking. He went viral. And people are tuning in to see him. But I thought last night was a perfect test for him against a very, very good young fighter. He's only 23-year-old, Liam Willings. His stock has went up. And he's going to be, if he gets the right fights and manages well, he doesn't jump straight into like a Dan Aziz fight, Willings, or a Boatsy fight. He doesn't just jump straight into one of them top guys. But if he builds, he'll come in right behind him. I think he's good enough to come in right behind him. He's only 23. Do you know what I mean? Coming right behind them and fill that void when they guys in their 30s vacate, retire, or do whatever they're at world level. He can win a British title, I think. But like I said to you there, I liked what I saw from Ben Whittaker last night. I like the fact that he can have a fight as well as showboat and do what he does.
Yeah. I think Ben Whittaker, you take what you want from it, but just had the whole crowd, because it was a packed crowd in there last night. They didn't just come for the main event, fair play to them. It was packed from early on. And he had them in the palm of his hands. He had all of them just watching him, just laughing, cheering. It was great to see. And it's a rare thing to see as well. So I see Dan Aziz was on commentary. I'm not kind of too sure what comments he was making. Obviously, I weren't listening. But I think that fight's probably inevitable. Probably not next fight, the fight after, I'd say. Yeah. I think one more fight, get to Dan Aziz.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Good. I think Dan Aziz will have another fight. I saw that Lyndon Arthur had said something about having a fight with Dan Aziz, so that might be in the pipeline beforehand before he faces Ben Whitaker. But like, I think Ben's ready for these guys, maybe in a next fight, maybe another fight, like a area guy or maybe an international guy who's been that sort of gatekeeper, maybe, I don't know, a European level guy, I'm not sure, but then he'll be ready for these Dan Azizes and Boatsies and yours. I think he has got the skill set. When you've got an amateur background like the Fraser Clarks, the Ben Whitakers, the Galal Yafais, who's fighting in Las Vegas this weekend, you can be pushed a little bit quicker. There's no point holding you back. Do you know what I mean? You went from fighting elite-level amateurs week in, week out, tournaments all over the world, and then you drop down and fight very, very low-level journeymen. Yeah. It just doesn't make sense. When you're on that sort of pedestal that they are with the elite amateurs, you can get pushed a little bit quicker. And I think Ben Whitaker, another fight, and then you can. Why not? Why not put him in there with a Dan Aziz, a Lyndon Arthur, a Yard or whatever? He might not have the professional fights. He might not have that credentials yet. But look at the professional fights Wardley had, 17, 18. Look at Fraser Clark, 6 or 7, whatever it was. Do you know what I mean? But the amateur background for Fraser paid dividend in that fight as well. Do you know what I mean? So I think that, I'll probably tail end of the year, Whitaker, Aziz, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I love that fight. And I think that fight would have a great build-up as well. Mm. Kind of like Wardley Clark. Just because, like, I know that, I'm not saying Dan Aziz's got the same background as Fabio Wardley, but Dan Aziz had to come up and do it the hard way. He weren't expected to kind of get to the level he did, headlining against Joshua Boatsy and doing really well in that fight like he did 6 weeks back. So, I love that fight. I really do love that fight. And just quickly going over the rest of the card, Callum Simpson, really impressed with Callum.
Love Callum Simpson.
And brought a lot of traveling fans as well.
Listen, he deserves a fight in Barnsley. I mean, his fans have had to travel Manchester, London, here, there, and everywhere. Yeah. Andy's put in the road work as well, Callum Simpson. He's been invited over to Canada to spar Bert Beev, so he must be doing something right if somebody like Bert Beev has asked him over, not once, but twice, maybe even three times, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Love Callum Simpson. Love the way he fights. I think he's got a very, very good fight ahead of him. Hopefully it's next against Zach Chile. Well, it is next, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think Callum Simpson's one of ours. He could be. I'm going to put my neck on the line here. He can win a world title. I'm going to put my neck on the line there. Listen, I might be wrong, but I think he's that good.
That's big.
Yeah, it's big, but I just think that he's still developing, man. And every time he's got a good short selection. He's big for the weight. He's like 6'2", 6'3", super middleweight. So he's got good size. He's got good length. He can hit. He's got good shot selection. He's young. He's got a travelling support that are going to give him that extra 2, 3, 4, 5% in that ring, wherever he is in the UK or the world. And I think if he doesn't win a world title, he'll fight for one. I don't know how easy it is to fight for a world title nowadays, but I really, really like Callum Simpson.
Yeah, as do I. And something I really liked about him is, like, he gets it. He gets, like, the fact that he's got to promote himself and put himself out there. Like, he was roaming the corridors at the O2 at 1 o'clock in the morning after the main event. What looked like vlogging or something to do with that. So I'm sure we'll see content out there. So he gets it. And he, like, that behind the scenes footage is good. And we see fighters kind of get out of the ring and straight to have a massage, go to the bar, whatever you want to do, which obviously do what you got to do. But this guy's kind of investing in his own profile, which I was kind of respected, and I'm sure we'll see whatever that content is very, very soon. The return of Alan Babich last night.
Alan Babich, yep.
Fun.
I hate this saying, what you see is what you get, but what you get with Alan Babich. Do you know what I mean? I think he threw two jabs. You know what I mean? He doesn't have a jab, which I like, right? If you're just going to get, if you're just going to put your chin on your chest, look at the floor, and just swing big haymakers at these guys that are 4, 5, 6 inches taller than you, and you rock them, you hurt them, then listen, he is what it is. No, I mean, he ain't going to do nothing different. He's going to give you entertainment. Yeah, listen, he said in his own words, Alan Babbage was, his last coach there tried to make him be a boxer, try and throw a 1-2 and a jab. Alan Babbage doesn't have a jab, let's be honest. And that's no. Okay. That's okay. That's not the way he fights. He ain't going to be the back foot on his toes, throwing jabs left hook to the bodies and rolling his head and slip dipping and rolling. That's not going to be Alan Babbage. Alan Babbage is going to sit on your chest and throw big right hooks over the top, big left hooks over the top, big left hooks to the body, right hooks to the body, and that is it. And I'm glad to see him back because, like, after the way he was, like, his past few fights against in the UK, then he went to Poland, Lukasz Radanski, and then got ironed out in a round. You can almost write people off and think, "Guys, listen, he's never going to do this. He's never going to do that." But it's hard for a fighter. You know what I mean? You've got to understand the mental games. You just see that the end product, fans, we do. We just see the end product, them in the ring fighting. We don't see the training camps, the mental side of things. You know what I mean? The family lives and everything else that goes in between for that fighter to get in that ring. So we don't know what Alan Babbage is going through with all the negativity on YouTube and whatnot and Twitter for that last fight. But listen, he went in there, got the job done, and that's all you can ask for him.
Yeah, definitely. And another character, another fun guy. I think Tommy Welch was there. So that'd be an interesting fight. I'd like to see that fight. And yeah, it was just a good card all around. It just had a very good feel-good atmosphere in there last night.
You've missed the fight, Joe. You've missed the fight.
Packed out 0-2.
You've missed the fight.
I've got it. It is Mikhail Lowell versus Vidal
Riley. I thought you'd missed it there, Joe. I was almost going to call you out on that one. But
Don't worry, mate. Don't worry. Vidal done what Vidal had to do. He boxed his way to a win. You know what Mikhail Lowell has, and Mikhail Lowell has a lot of power, but he couldn't get it off. Vidal just boxed him very, very comfortably. But the real talking point, and probably the most exciting part of the whole fight, was what happened after, if I'm being brutally honest.
Well, the cameras panned off it. As soon as Chef Clark rocked up, the cameras disappeared and went over to the commentary booth. So I don't know what you can tell me what happened when Chef Clark rocked up, if anything happened, because it looked like there was a little scuffle between the teams. But isn't Chef Clark mandatory for Vidal Riley?
Yeah, Chef's mandatory.
Yeah,
so I think Chef was just going there to say, like you don't, like, okay, if you're trying to make this fight and trying to kind of create this narrative between Isaac Chamberlain and Vidal Riley, don't forget about me, because I'm the actual one who's mandatory for this title. Which, and I think it got very much blown out of proportion what happened. And I don't think it was as bad. I don't think it was that bad that Sky should have turned the cameras off, if I'm being perfectly honest. I didn't see it, but from what I've spoke to people who were there in the middle of it, and they said it weren't bad at all, really. It was more of a misunderstanding than anything. Because if you could actually hear before they cut it off, both Vidal and Isaac were saying, like, let him in, bring him in. So I think it was more to do with the people surrounding them that rather than the actual three fighters.
Well, listen, that's we
love... I was at an event with
No, I was just going to say we love the storyline. I'm just saying I love the fact that we've got that storyline now. We've got three very, very good British fighters in Vidal Riley, Isaac Chamberlain, and Chev Clark. There or thereabouts, and I think, like I said to you, we keep getting these British title fights, English title fights. If they can get it on, whoever it may be, I think we're in for a good fight. I think Isaac Chamberlain puts a little bit more pressure than Mikhail Lowell. He might be able to cut the ring off more than Mikhail Lowell against Vidal Riley. You know what I mean? Mikhail Lowell was sort of following Vidal Riley around the ring, but I think Isaac Chamberlain's got the skill set to step aside and cut him off a little bit and go to the work in the body. Do you know what I mean? So that'll make the fight a little bit more entertaining with Vidal Riley. But then you've got Chef Clark, who I'm a fan of. I think that he's definitely going to be a great, 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 great fighter. Sprinkle him in there as well. Him against Isaac Chamberlain, him against Vidal Riley. I mean, what an absolute... If them one of them two get it on, I'm happy. I think that's going to be an absolutely great fight, and we're going to be destined for another great British-English title fight with either three of them.
Yeah. Great. Like, they're kind of that wave of cruiserweights, because we have so many cruiserweights. We have like so many. So I know Isaac Chamberlain. I don't know what's going to happen, because I thought Isaac Chamberlain was going to fight for the European, if I'm being honest. So I thought he might have vacated. So, and I think if he don't get the Vidal fight, if Vidal's forced to fight, if he's forced to fight Chev, maybe vacates. I don't know what's going to happen. There's a lot of variables to this, and it'll be interesting to see it play out.
Definitely. I just agree. I love Sunday night fight cards, because we had the good football at the weekend. We had Liverpool game against Brighton. Then we had City against Arsenal, and then straight onto the boxing on a Sunday. I mean, what more can you ask for on a Sunday? I think Sunday fight night should become more of a thing. Not all the time, because people like to have a drink at fight nights and they don't want to get up on a Monday morning. Mm. But if it's a bank holiday Monday, then why not?
Bank
when have a Sunday night fight night? I think that was an absolute great shout and a great way to do it. That was, like I said, the great week in the boxing. We'll just go stateside quickly, Joe, and talk about Tim Zhu against Sebastian Fundura. Upset. I don't think many people would have thought that Sebastian Fundura would have got beat Tim Zhu. But again, talking about having heart and having a character, going to the well. I mean, he got an elbow to the head in the third or fourth round, was it? Tim Zhu?
I think it was the full.
Fourth round, and then got a massive cut. Skorna could have pulled him out, because that was an illegal elbow. Could have pulled him out and said, listen, that was a legal elbow, call the fight off. But he wanted to fight on. He fought on and fought on. 10 days notice against a 6'6" southpaw when he was meant to be fighting a 5'8" orthodox guy. You just went off complete 180. You've been training for months and months for this guy, Keith Thurman, who's 5'8", an orthodox fighter. And then within 10 days notice, to keep the card alive, you've done a 180. I went to a 6'6" southpaw. I mean, not many fighters will do that, but Tim Zhu is that fighter.
Yeah, I love Tim Zhu. I was gutted for him that he lost, but fair play for Dura. Like, comes in a short notice and done what he had to do. Fair play. He's changed his life, and now I'm seeing that he might be fighting Terence Crawford. So, in the space of what, 3 weeks? You've literally turned your life around.
Yeah, and then he had that knockout, didn't he? He got knocked out by, was it Mendoza? I think Mendoza knocked him out last year as well. So he's gone from like a devastating knockout loss to becoming a unified world champion, to then maybe going on to fight maybe the pound for pound king, number one dog in the whole of boxing, in Terence Crawford. I mean, that is just boxing for you. One day you can be down and out. Then the next day, an opportunity comes. And that's probably testament to... Well, I know Sebastian had a fight, but I think boxing is only a short career. I'm going to go off on a little tangent here. If you give boxing 15 years of your life where you're in the sport, you train every day, you're in the gym, you're never out, opportunities can come up. And if you take that opportunity and it pays off, then that's it, your life's made. Do you know what I mean? So for every young fighter, if I can give you any advice, this is probably it. And my fucking advice is probably worth 2 pence right now, so nobody probably gives a shit. But if you're a boxer and you want to make a career out of it, it's only 15 years maximum of your life. Give it 110%, stay in the gym, stay ready, opportunities will come, you take them. You could be that unified world champion. You could be facing the pound-for-pound number one like Terence Crawford. Who knows? That's why we love the sport, Joe. Do you know what I mean? You just don't know what will happen. And we saw that in Tim Zhu, and Fundura, Clark, and Wardley. It's just a great sport. That's why we love it, mate.
Yeah, 100%. And look, if he hadn't taken that opportunity, in years to come, he might have been thinking, what if he never got an opportunity again? Mm. So you've got to take the opportunities when you can come. And look, just fair play to him. And it's just a great week of boxing all round. Mm. Absolutely great week of boxing. And then this week, we've got Hitchens versus Lemos, is that right, with Pacheco on the undercard? You've got Diego Pacheco fighting for the world title.
Him and Callum Simpson would be a good fight. Diego Pacheco.
Great fight.
That's a good super middleweight fight, maybe in the future, who knows. Great week to look forward to. April, we've got Gil and Barrett coming up. We've got, I was going to say Josh Taylor Cattle, but we haven't. That's not until the 25th of May. But yeah, I'm sure there will be news, and the 5v5 is yet to be announced. I'm sure it will be announced in the next couple of weeks. We know
15th of April. I think that got announced. Yep.
All right, good. Then 15th of April, we find out who's fighting, which is going to be exciting. So that'll keep us busy in another talking point. But like I say, Joe, as you can tell by my window, you can see the rain splatter. So Glasgow, it always rains up in Scotland, mate. Always.
Nice and sunny down here, mate. It's nice and sunny.
Yeah, I'm actually 21 years old, man. This is just a weather-beaten face.
Yeah, weathered, yeah. Or punched in the face too much.
That's it, mate. I don't get punched anymore. I've just got a wee bit of a bent nose, you know what I mean? Anyway, mate, listen, well done again this past 3 weeks. I know you've had back-to-back-to-back shows. Well done, mate. And like I said, I'll see you next week. Always enjoy your time, Joe. But now,
yeah, see you next week, mate. And yeah, I'll catch you soon, mate.
Thank you,
later.
Bye-bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.